share an encounter this morning. So if you want to share one, please let me know. We've been, talking a little bit more about spiritual warfare. And spiritual warfare is definitely an encounter with God when you're being under warfare. So just sharing with you guys about some of these things. We talked a lot about how Elijah, had tremendous victory overcoming the prophets there, 850 prophets, and defeated them, and tremendous success and all the things that we like. And then in a moment, Jezebel, says she's coming after him, and it's a total different guy, and you look at it and you scratch your head and you wonder, what is up with this guy? And we're just like him, that one moment we can be experiencing success, and the next moment the right set of circumstances and that seems like the house of cards can crumble down. And it kind of reveals how weak we are and how dependent we are on the Lord. And I've shared with you out of that those scriptures there, how Elijah's going through those things and how he had to battle things, and we have to battle things. And Elijah experienced depression, intimidation, loneliness. He isolated himself. He felt weak. He felt hopeless. He felt like he was alone. I'm the only one left. He even, Lord, take me home. He had just had those feelings. And hopefully you have learned that Jezebel, that spirit of Jezebel, must be thrown down. And God told Elijah, said, anoint three people, two kings and a prophet. He anointed Elisha to follow after him. And the other two, Jehu was a king, and Jehu, 20 years after this, came in and had her thrown down, and they cast her down. And that's a principle in the spirit. Jezebel will try to get those hooks in you and in me, and if we crack a door open, it will reveal weaknesses in us that we must seek God to overcome. And we, with God, throw those spiritual things down. We stand against them. But we've also been talking about another spirit that is handled much differently, and that is the spirit called Leviathan. And often Jezebel and Leviathan will work together, and they create tremendous confusion within ourselves and within a group or within a nation. And they work together to exercise control, to twist, to distort truth, and use that to overcome. And so I really never knew a lot about Leviathan until recently. And I shared with y'all that I was laying down here one weekday just seeking the Lord, and Butch called me. And I was just getting ready to look into some scriptures about Leviathan when he called me. And he shared with me as I'm laying there on the floor that, we're under attack. And he mentioned Leviathan. And I thought, while I'm laying on the floor thinking about Leviathan, and he calls me on the phone. So, that gift of discernment took over. He said, God might be saying something here to me about Leviathan. So I began to look into it. Now, the term, the actual word Leviathan, I think is only mentioned five times in scriptures in three different books of the Bible. But the first time it's ever mentioned is after Job goes through, the great difficulties that he has. And eventually, excuse me, he's worn down. His three friends come to sit with him, and they just mourn with him for 7 days. And then Job's patience is exhausted, and he says in chapter 3 of Job, verse 8, may those curse it who curse the day, those who are ready to arouse Leviathan. And other versions give you this kind of feel to it. If you're good at cursing things, curse the day I was born and arouse the sea monster Leviathan. And that was a big mistake for him to express that with his mouth, because after that, his three friends, air quotes, speak up with, I'm sure, the best of intentions and spoke some truth, some not truth, and they twisted and they distorted things. That's why when you read that, you're confused. You're like, well, this sounds good, but this doesn't sound so good. But the end of that 27 chapters of basically fruitless discussion, God weighs in and says, I'm angry with these three guys. They have not said the things that are proper. And that's clear in Job. There's a lot of confusion in Job, but it's clear Job was a good man. He was righteous. There was none like him in all the earth. God used him, I believe, to set Satan up for him thinking that he can overcome Jesus when Jesus came to this earth. It's also clear that Job was blessed. His latter end was more blessed than the beginning. It also says in James that the intention of God was mercy on Job. And so there are confusing things in Job, but there are some very clear things. And one is that God was upset with these three guys. And after this 27 chapters and of confusion and Job interacting with them, God speaks to Job. And he has this, I was going to say man-to-man talk, but he has this God-to-man frank discussion with Job, okay? And that's where he says, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where were you when I told the waters, you can only come this far and no more? Where were you when I walked in the depths of the sea and looked things over? Where were you when I created the ostrich? Where were you when I created the horse that is this huge, strong animal? And he goes through his creation. And it's really interesting to read those from 38 to 40, I think. God speaks of his creation. Shows you how God said it was good. And he lists some of the things and how their unique characteristics. And he said, I made them that way. And that's why evolution is just such an anti-God thing. And so, but then God comes down and he talks about two creatures. And one is a land animal and one is a sea creature. The land animal is called a behemoth, which is most likely a hippo. And the sea creature is called Leviathan. And so it's the second time it's ever mentioned in Scripture is in Job, where God then speaks about what Job said, curse the day and arouse Leviathan. Then God addresses Job about that, and he talks about Leviathan. And so we have, if you'll go to the next slide there, Leviathan, if you look it up in the Hebrew and everything, it's basically, probably most likely, a crocodile. And if you study about crocodiles, I mean, it's a prehistoric-looking creature today. It is about a fourth of his length is his mouth. He has a big mouth. Leviathan, that creature, a crocodile, will be off of the banks. And, I mean, you can Google the wildebeest and the crocodile going to get one. He'll observe. He lurks. His head is above the water and his nostrils. And then he'll figure out what he wants for lunch. And he can go under, and he can stay under for 12 minutes, lurks and stealthily comes in, and then he launches. And when he clamps on, his teeth, as you can see, are all pointed. There's no grinders. He doesn't chew his food up. He just dismembers, and he does that death roll. And if the animal is too big, two of them will work together. One will hold on, the other one will hold on, and just twist and dismember. And this, all of these things are characteristics of things that happen in the spirit. And so we see in the scriptures about You know, Satan's like a roaring lion. Paul said, after my departure, ravenous wolves would come in. You know, there's many characteristics that are like animals that are associated with the demonic. And this is one, this Leviathan. And so not only that, in the next slide, in the satanic church, that's, of course, a satanic symbol, and there are Hebrew letters at the end of each of the points of the star, the inverted star, and the bottom one is an L, a V, a TH, and an N, Leviathan. There's a book of Leviathan in the satanic Bible. So there is definitely evil associated with this. But let me start, and you say, well, you're just starting. Yeah, I'm just starting for where I want to go with details more about Leviathan. I want to start here in 2 Thessalonians, where Paul is talking about the end times, the end days. He says in chapter 2, verse 1, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day," what day? The coming of the Lord. "That day will not come unless the falling away comes first." So he's telling us about end times. He's saying, don't be shaken. There's a reason he says, don't be shaken, because there's going to be things that are shaking. But don't be shaken. There will be a falling away. And then verse 8, "And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie." So there is coming a time that there is going to be lawlessness. We see it happening. There is going to be a falling away. People will fall away from God. They will stop following after God. And these are all characteristics of what this spirit does. And because of their not following after God, God sends a strong delusion. So there is going to be great deception. And so I've talked a little bit about Jezebel and about Leviathan and their how they're different. Jezebel is an internal attack. I mean, Satan will look for a way to get his hooks in and opening into your soul and try to terrorize you. You know, you're saved, you're following after God, but you're not in the promised land yet. God's still working things in your soul. So it reveals insecurities and fears and different things inside of you. It's an internal attack, and you work with the Lord to overcome those weaknesses that are in your soul. Whereas Leviathan is an external attack. It's accusations, it's slanders, it's character assassination. Jezebel is you open the door, you know, and you let Jezebel in. Leviathan is a vandalized door. You can keep the door closed and it's just throwing dirt and mud at you. Jezebel, you have control over your response. You let God arise. You move with God. You use the gifts and the armor and things. But Leviathan, you don't have control over what people say about you and people speaking lies and those kinds of things. You have to let God deal with that. Jezebel must be thrown down. Job tells us in chapter 3, verse 8, I think it is. No, that's not right. Chapter 41, verse 8. "Do not lay your hand on Leviathan. You will regret the day you do it. So when you get a chance, read the book of Job, and especially chapter 41. For time's sake, I'm just going to highlight a few verses here that will give us some characteristics about Leviathan. And Job 41:1 says, God is speaking to Job about Leviathan, okay? And he said, can you draw out Leviathan with a fish hook or press down his tongue with a cord? Can you put a rope in his nose or pierce his jaw with a hook? Will he make many pleas to you? Will he speak to you soft words? Will you play with him as with a bird, or will you put him on a leash for your girls? So God is describing this creature basically has no practical usefulness. He cannot be caught. He cannot be tamed. He cannot be domesticated. He can't be used for work like you could a horse or an ox or a donkey. You can't tame him. You can't train him. He will not serve you. He says in verse 4, will he make a covenant with you? Will you take him as a servant forever? When I think of covenant, I think of commitment. I think of marriage. I think of loyalty. And a characteristic of this Leviathan spirit is no commitment. And we see this in our land today. I remember when I was a kid that hardly nobody got divorced. It was a social shame to be divorced. And, most people got married a lot younger than they did now. I mean, when we came along, she was 18 and I was 22 when we got married. Now they're waiting so much longer. And so there's this lack of commitment. Or they're not getting married at all. There's no marriage. I remember when a marriage was in trouble, often the two might not get along, the husband and wife. They would stay together for the sake of the children. You know, close the bedroom and it might be all hell breaking loose, but at least they were civil for the sake of the children. That doesn't happen so much anymore. I remember one time talking with a lady that had kids, had gotten a divorce, had met this guy, and, you know, she was struggling, but I just said, you know what, you really shouldn't marry this guy until your kids get older and out of the house. Well, you know how that went over, like a lead balloon. Commitment. You know, it used to be a person went out, once they found the job that they wanted, they stayed there 30, 35, 40 years, one location. And they worked for this person or this company, and this company was good to them, and, you know, that's just the way it was. Well, it's not that way anymore. We have these mobile retirement plans. Or companies are cutting people off 5 years before they retire. And what we're seeing now is that you can't even get 40 hours. You got to work two or three jobs to get enough hours. It's just commitment is not the way it used to be. Even in my short time, I can see a big change in social commitment. And so this spirit, you can see it being unleashed more and more. The strong delusion spoken about in Thessalonians is being unleashed on our land, and most people don't even realize what's going on because it is a delusion. It's something that's being unleashed. And it really is affecting our younger generation in a big time way. It seems to me that our younger folks have a problem making friends and keeping friends. Their communication is on their phone, either texting. Their enjoyment is in video games where they can, while they're, you know, video gaming, they're talking with someone on the other side of the world to come be on my team. Well, we'll go fight these guys. I mean, it's just the personal interaction is not there. They're waiting longer to get married. Come on, we all know how many of these 30-year-olds are still at home with mom and dad. It's just this spirit is just being unleashed. Another characteristic of this Leviathan spirit is independence. It says, will you take him as a servant forever? Now, God is speaking to Job, who had a lot of servants. Job was a successful man. he knew how to run his business and his household. He knew how to acquire loyal employees and servants. And God is telling him, this spirit, you won't get a servant that will stay with you. The Leviathan spirit is a selfish, independent, no loyalty. If you think of the parable of the Good Samaritan, one of them went and cared for the guy, and the other three went by. That Leviathan is not the guy that goes and cares for somebody. He more cares about himself. And you see it. You see it in our society. People that see this a lot of times, sometimes with one of my grandkids, something goes wrong at work. I'm ready to leave. What's the matter? The boss did this, the boss did that. I said, the boss is always going to be doing so. I don't care where you go. The boss is not going to, you're not going to like the boss a lot of times. You just can't leave, But that's what's happening in our world. You have to be so coddled, so taken care of. It's like you're, on an airplane ride and the stewardess says, can I get another pillow for your journey here? That's the way this spirit works. And this spirit, it's we see them not holding jobs. We see marriages. People don't stay in marriages. If something starts going wrong, they're just gone. And so the commitment. Also, we see it in churches. This spirit does not want to serve people. It wants to be served. This spirit will not volunteer for things. It's not going to put itself out there to interrupt their schedules to serve someone else. Let me tell you, Jesus builds his church on things that he values and that he demonstrated. It was Jesus that was a servant. It was Jesus that was willing to leave the glory and the comfort of heaven and come to this earth. It's Jesus that humbled himself, and that's what he looks for. It was Jesus that washed the disciples' feet when they should have washed his. It was Jesus that when he was super tired, he still said, let's go to the other side because there's a demon-possessed man over there that needs deliverance. And they had to wake him up on the way because the storm was so strong. It's Jesus that laid down his life. And it was Jesus that said this, and it's on the screen, Luke 9:23. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Well, the world's not into denying themselves. And the cross, that's a piece of jewelry I wear. No, that's an evil spirit. The Lord expects his followers to deny themselves. And let me tell you, Jesus died on the cross, but you and I have daily crosses to bear. That's not a fun thing that people like to hear anymore, but it is the truth. It is the truth of the Word of God. This was a scripture when I was a young Christian. I had a deck of things, of scriptures that I memorized, and this was one of them. If anyone comes after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Hallelujah. We are servants, beloved. We are servants of a king. We are servants of a king. Thank you. So the Lord needs people in his church that he's going to build a church with that are willing to do the work that needs to be done and deny themselves and sacrifice. You know, my mom is 90. My dad is 91. Just this summer, I could see that them doing the lawn work was getting to be a chore. And so I've been going over and doing their lawn for them. I'm serious. They could do it up until this year. And, Mom will wash and wax my car right now if I take it over to her. She's just amazing. But I was headed over there or over there afterwards or whatever, but I'm sitting down and she's making me a strawberry shortcake. And the phone rings. My mom goes around, answers the phone, and I'm sitting there eating the nice strawberry shortcake, and here's what I hear. Aw, yes, I can do that. Yes, I'll call her, I'll tell her. Yep, and if she can't do it, I'll do it. Okay, well, thank you for calling me. Bye. I said, Mom, what was that? Someone at our church died, and Alice just called, and she's trying to get a bunch of people together to take care of getting the reception plan and getting some meals over. And she's so nice to do that. And I said, well, you're nice to do what you did. And I thought, that is what is needed. Here's a 90-year-old woman. I will do that. If she can't do it, I will do it. That's the spirit needed for building the church, beloved. Hallelujah. Now, Leviathan, this Leviathan spirit is not, only all of those things I just mentioned, but it's also very insecure and very defensive. In 41:15, God says of him, his back is made of rows of shields, shut up closely as with a seal. No one is so... One is so near to another that no air can come between them. So he's talking about this creature, this crocodile, and he's describing him, but he's also describing an evil spirit. And this spirit is one that works in people to prevent them from getting the healing that they need. They will not open themselves up to receive what they really need. Someone that maybe in some kind of an addiction issue or an anger or a lust issue, they won't open up. They will just cover it, and that's the spirit. There's such a hardness, such a pride, and an insecurity that it shuts out the healing that it needs. Notice in verse 16, one is so near to another that no air can come between them. That word air right there is ruach in the Hebrew. That is the very essence of the life of God. That is the breath. Ruach is the breath of God, the spirit of God, the life of God, the wind of God, the blast of God. Someone subjected to this spirit is not going to let anyone heal them and let them in. They're not going to open up to it. And you see that. You see it so strong in our society. And you see it in people that suffer from addictions and those kinds of things. Beloved, we have to beware of this evil in our society and that it wants to latch onto us. If you, ever since the Lord putting his finger on something in your life and you want to wiggle away, fight that tendency. Hallelujah. Scales, the crocodile has these scales, this thick skin. I mean, no hair, it's just different. And it's an example or picture of this evil spirit. Protect what's underneath. Another characteristic of this Leviathan spirit is it's very hard-hearted. Verse 24 says, his heart is hard as a stone, hard as the lower millstone. You know, a millstone, they put the grain on there and a stone rolls on top of the other one. It's the lower one, the one that's just been work-hardened, man. It's just got grooves in there, just so hard. And says, when he raises himself up, and you think of a crocodile getting ready to launch his attack, when he raises himself up, the mighty are afraid. At the crashing, they are beside themselves. Though the sword reaches him, it does not avail, nor the spear, the dart, or the javelin. Now you can take a handgun and shoot Leviathan, shoot that crocodile in a certain spot in the top of his head, and it'll kill him. But the point here is you can't touch him. He is just, he's hard. He protects himself. Another characteristic, and probably the biggest characteristic, is pride. Verse 34 says, he sees everything that is high. He is the king over all the sons of pride. Pride, pride, pride. This is the top pride prize. I mean, he just, pride. And pride is anti-God. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So this spirit has too much pride to serve others and to bless others. So let's talk about characteristics some more. It's a confusion and twisting, Isaiah 27. And that day the Lord will, with his severe sword, great and strong, will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent. Leviathan, that twisted serpent. He will slay the reptile that is in the sea. So you see two more characteristics, fleeing. No commitment, fleeing, twisting, confusion. Scripture says where confusion is, there's evil, every evil work. So you see this in the news media, twisting, contorting the truth. I don't know who to believe anymore when you turn the TV on. David experienced this in Psalm 56. He said, all day they twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather together. They hide. They mark my steps when they lie in wait for my life. So this spirit will distort communication. What you want communicated is not communicated. What you don't want communicated is communicated. It will use that to break relationships, to dismember and sever people. Facebook is a prime example of where the spirit operates. So how do we war against this enemy? Well, David, a few verses later, talks about how he dealt with this spirit when they were twisting his words. He said, when I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know because God is for me. David had to let the Lord do it. So let's talk about the spiritual, overcoming the spirit. You know what? I'm going to stop right there. I don't have enough time to do what I want to do. So the next time that we get together, I will talk about how we deal with Leviathan. But I want you to know that God says that if you deal with him correctly, he will make lunch for you out of this guy. He will prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so you, while Jezebel must be thrown down, we retreat into the presence of God and let him do it. When the children of Israel were fleeing from the Egyptians and they were there and they were complaining, God said, what are you doing? Move forward. I will fight for you. Moving forward for them was actually retreating from the enemy. They were running from the enemy, but God said, move forward. And then when they moved forward, he parted the seas, and then he fed them in the wilderness. Hallelujah. And that's what God does. If we try to get in here and do some battle and not let God do it, let me tell you, twisting and distorting of words, this spirit will win over you. Because if you try to explain things, it just gets twisted up. You just get sucked into his trap. And so I'll just close with that and this scripture. Because Leviathan is so deceptive and he is the king over sons of pride, it's a very strong spirit. If we are subjected to him, we probably don't even realize it. It's such a strong delusion. This is why David said, forgive me of secret sins. Now, secret sins weren't the sins that he did. He didn't want anybody to know. Secret sins are the sins that he did. He didn't know that he did. David had enough sense to say, Lord, I know I've done things that I don't even realize are wrong. Forgive me of those. That's a great attitude to adopt. And let me share this, and we'll close. Psalm 139:23. Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. I'd just like for us to read that last verse together. And not just make it a communal reading, but I want it to be a prayer from your heart to God. And I want it to be a declaration of us as a church together saying this. So I just repeat it with me, or say it with me, and say it nice and strong. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. God bless these people. Thank you for each and every one of them. I pray, Lord, as we go this week, you would strengthen and encourage us as we walk with you. I pray, Lord, the things that are bothering us and causing us to be unsettled on the inside, Lord, we would find peace with you. I pray, Lord, that each one of these people would be instruments of grace as they go this week. Lord, that you would bless them. You would use them to bless others and be a blessing to others, Father. I pray that the words of their mouth, Lord, will bring healing and hope into people that need a touch from you, God. I pray, oh God, that you would bless the steps that they walk, every place that they go, Lord. You would cause their path to be a path of blessing. May you use them at home. May you use them in the neighborhood, in the marketplace, and in friendships, God. Use these people. And Lord, we call upon you as a fellowship, Lord, to do your mighty work in our midst. And we give you all the honor, praise, and glory. And we all say, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you.